stadium seat, about 75,000 people. We were there for 10 nights. We had over 250,000+ decisions for Christ during that 10-day period of time. And so a pastor group from a Indian community, all the major Indian church said, please, you've got to come. When we have a pastor's meeting, we want you to come do this in our community because there's a million Indians. I'm not talking about American Indians. I'm talking about Indian Indians. I'm telling you, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, Indians. Indian Indians from India. What and all, you know. And there's a million of them living right in that area. And they say, you do a big crusade here for the, you know, for all. It's like going to India. It's just the same way. And so we had this meeting, 200 pastors. And I got up. And as I got up, within 10 minutes, the fire of God fell. They jumped up. They run. They're holding their cell phones like they were calling. And they're standing in the lobby. And you saw them filter out the door and disappear. What they were asking for was not what we were going to give them. Because the moment the power of God started, they took a run. They took a run right out the door. So I have to go. My phone's ringing. And the easiest way to get out, let me tell you, I'll tell you how to get out of these services. If you're sitting in, you're uncomfortable, just pick your cell phone, shove it up to your ear, pretend to be talking, and then move to the door. That's the quickest way to get out of here. If you have a child, pinch the kid will cry, and then you can evacuate the building. And when all else fails, if you don't have a kid, don't have a child, just look like you need to go to the restroom and dance a little bit and make a run. It'll be fine. See, I've given you three outs here already today. So there was great joy in the city. Now watch this. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. Which you really have to be very careful. When anybody would move in the power of God, that you always lift up Jesus, exalt Jesus, and not lift up yourself. Because then you're no different to Simon the sorcerer. And you end up bringing your master much gain by soothsaying. That's why, I mean, I'm very strict on television ministry. They work for us. We don't work for them. TV networks and that work for the ministry. The ministry doesn't work for them. I'll say it one more time. TV networks work for the gospel. We don't work for them. Amen. God puts the gift in people, not in some organization or some, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. I'll never forget because this was on television. This happened years back, probably 20 years ago, but TBN were broadcasting for Dr. Oral Roberts out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Dr. Paul Crouch was interviewing Dr. Roberts, and this happened on television. I mean, I don't think it'd be available right now. You probably couldn't pull it up, but Dr. Crouch said to Brother Oral Roberts, he said, these ministers out here need us. And Brother Oral said, absolutely not. You need these preachers out here. I mean, he put the thing right back into perspective, right there on national television immediately. Like that. And that's another whole story. I won't get into that. But it's very important that we don't use other people's anointings for our own gain. Can you say amen? The anointing's not for your future in retirement. The anointing's to help people and to touch people's lives. Amen. And, oh, hallelujah. I mean, this thing is so on me because I've seen so many people lost along these lines. I had a man back in Africa who was touched by the Spirit of God back in the early 90s. I went and preached in his church for a whole week. I mean, the fire of God hit that place, and God gave him a miracle ministry. And, you know, he got arrogant. Miracles would pop like popcorn. I mean, cripples would walk. And I went about 5 years later, I was in a meeting. He'd come to the meeting, sit in the front row, and we had lunch together, and he told me about all these cripples that walked. I said, that's wonderful. How many souls are being saved? So then he didn't talk. He changed the thing back to the miracles. I said, look, miracles are the dinner bell for the gospel. And I said, God does the miracles so that the souls can be saved. If you're not getting souls saved, you better get back to preaching the gospel. Otherwise, you made it about the miracle. Why would God do the miracle just to promote your ministry? And then what happened, he wanted to be exclusive, so he came up with several exclusive doctrines. And they were totally off base. And I tried to correct him, and he would not listen. And then he contracted cancer and fought cancer. And, I mean, it was a terrible thing because one of the things he was preaching was that you'd live forever. You could live longevity on the earth. But he's dying of cancer. And anyway, he passed recently. But the sad thing was that he used the great miracles as the leverage for what he was preaching. And you can't. You can't. God will heal, but that doesn't mean, say, your doctrine's right. Are you listening to me? Can I say that one more time? God will heal, but that doesn't mean, say, your doctrine's right. William Branham went off at the latter part of his ministry. People were healed. Miracles happened. But his doctrine was off. The same with Dr. Dowie. He believed he was Elijah come back. And miracles would happen, but his doctrine was off. So you can't use your miracles to prove your message. Well, the fact that I'm preaching the truth, get up and walk. That's not how it works. The gifts and the calling of God without repentance. Can you say amen? So you have to be very careful. Signs and wonders follow the word, but they can also follow other people's faith. So other people come in faith, they get healed, but you're a jackass. Amen. Come on, say amen, somebody. So they all gave heed to this man's from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had regard because of long time he bewitched them with their sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching, I love this, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and woman. Then Simon himself also, when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, everybody say Simon saw.
Simon saw.
Say it again.
Simon saw.
That through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, unfortunately, this scenario is being played over and over in the modern day church in America. That's it. Period. And unfortunately, the preachers are falling for it. That's why if you're going to be a preacher of the gospel, you can be attached to an amount or a number, and you can be for sale. Are you listening to me? I mean, there are people that if I mention their names right now, you know who they are. If you wanted them to speak, you'd have to fill out a contract, and some of them expect $50,000 a night, and the money needs to be wired to their account before they even fly. Otherwise, they won't even get on the airplane. Now, you say, wow, but their names are nationwide. They're known. That's the way they function, not just in the preaching ministry, but in the music industry as well. This is how it is. And the people don't know that. They come, but they don't know the fee that's being paid to have these people come and perform. We don't adhere to any of that stuff. We don't do it. We will not be a part of that. We got to keep it pure. You got to keep the anointing pure. Can you say amen? And then pastors fall into the trap because they have one come and then they give him a big offering and then he reciprocates by inviting them and then they live like that. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And that's how it happens. And so they go from place to place. And people say, well, that's acceptable. But let me tell you right now, for the remuneration, it's not acceptable to sell out the anointing and compromise the anointing of God. It's not acceptable. Can you say amen? So Simon wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not for sale. It's free. You just have to have a hungry heart. He said, say, give me also this power that whomever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And then Peter said, your money perish with you, for you have neither... Or you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, for thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And then answered Simon and said, pray to the Lord that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified, preached the word and returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, under the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting on his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture when he read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and lacked a lamb dumb before the shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and preached, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus, which this is the core of the gospel. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, if you know anything of the area of the map, that from where he was to where Azotus was 90 miles. 90 miles. Now, how many miles could they travel in a day on foot? 20 at the max. It's pushing, but say 10, 15 miles a day. On horse or donkey, probably a little bit more. So it was actually taken a minimum of 5 days by the Spirit, caught away. That would be like me caught away and I'm found in Toronto. You know what I'm saying? This is supernatural. This is the way the church is supposed to be functioning, walking in the realm of the supernatural, living in this resurrection life. Some people would be nervous because the Lord caught them away. They wouldn't know how to get back. Amen. I mean, God, this is the book of Acts. It's plain there. There's a transportation available to the church, and it's known as Philip's transport. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe, as a fact, I mean, I'm sure there have been people operating in that realm here on the earth, but in the millennium, I believe we'll operate. That's how we'll travel. We'll never have to fly an airplane again. There we are. There we are. Here we come. There we are. Amen. The Lord would, I don't think he would let me walk in that right now because I'd abuse it. I'd book meetings back to back in different time zones. I'd do a 10 o'clock here, and then I'd do a 10 o'clock in LA, and I'd do a 10 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii. I mean, and so, you know, you just can only do so many meetings a day, but the Lord knows that I would do it. There's a couple of crazy things I'm going to do before I go home to be with Jesus. One of them is to take a supersonic jet and set up meetings in different parts of the world and do it all in a matter of a day with the supersonic jet. I have to do that. I've got to do that. That's one of the things I'm going to do. Can you say amen? And there's a new supersonic jet coming out, I think this next year. It'll seat about 12 people, and it's a private jet thing. I'm going to find out to get me access to one of those things and be in Sydney and then London and just to put it on the history books. I mean, my God, because that's like supernatural. That'll be like big translated. You know what I'm saying? I got to fly the Concorde one time out of London coming into New York, and I arrived in New York before I left London. You know, it took me longer from New York to Tampa than it was from London to New York. 1,350 miles an hour. You know, coming through the air. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So just crazy thing. I have a friend of mine who had a church in Auckland, New Zealand, and in Honolulu, Hawaii, because it's right on the dateline. So he would preach Sunday morning, Sunday night in Auckland, get on a plane and fly through the night and land Sunday morning in Honolulu, because the day would come around to be Sunday morning in Honolulu, because it starts in New Zealand. And he would preach. He did that for 2 years. He pastored two churches and preached in two different churches on the same Sunday. Now, that's making good use of your time. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. My God, that's the kind of stuff I like. That's the kind of stuff that I think we're supposed to be doing. Not this boring, mundane, you know, another day at the office thing. My God, God called us to live the supernatural life. This is living the supernatural life. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Who thinks that's pretty neat to have two different churches, two, and on the same Sunday? The same Sunday you're preaching. You get up 10 o'clock, it's still Sunday. You think, I just did this. Here we go again. Hallelujah. Who likes this kind of stuff? Well, you're as crazy as I am then. Now, what is our responsibility as the body of Christ? Is it just our job to get saved and come to church and be a tither? And, you know, I mean, is that it? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we live our own life. We live out there, we do our jobs, and we live our life, and then we do stuff for the church. And just, or does God have a greater realm for the church? Why have we compartmentalized everything in our spiritual life? So you've got the Sunday thing going on. I'm not talking about me, because for me, every day is Sunday. So, you know, every day is a Sunday. People talk about the Sabbath. Every day is a Sabbath for me. So I don't know anything about no Sunday. Sunday's every day. When you do two meetings a day, 6 days a week, like we do, then every day is a Sunday. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But for most people, they go to church on a Sunday, maybe in another service, a midweek service. And other than that, that's it. And the Sunday or the service involvement is that service. 1 hour, 90 minutes, max 2 hours, the hour of power, you know, whatever. And that's it. Finished. And then they read about this and they think, would to God that we could have lived in Bible days. And they don't understand that we're actually living in Bible days right now, because we're living in the final chapter of the book of Acts right now. And we have the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel, greater than anybody in history. You can say a few words and press a button, and it's suddenly on the internet, and people around the world are listening to what you just said. Are you listening to me? I mean, this is like mind-blowing stuff. The opportunity has been given to every single person that they could proclaim the gospel. That as a kid, I didn't have access to that. I remember getting my first computer, big computer, 1980, latter part of 83, a big Sanyo MBC 1150 double floppy disk drive and a dot matrix printer, and you had to go in and punch an MS-DOS code thing for it before it would even do anything. And then the terrible noise it makes. And then you look what we have now. There's more technology in my iPhone than was in Apollo 11 that went to the moon and came back. There's more technology in that little thing. What is going to happen even in the next 5 years that gives us access to proclaim the gospel and to reach into homes of individuals and people and touch their life, even now, right now, by way of internet, going all over. Only God knows who's watching it. So when people come to me and say, I have no place to preach, I want to slap them. I want to just slap them. What's your problem, man? I have no place to preach. Well, what do you want? Where do you want to preach? I'd like to go preach at this church. Well, what are you going to go tell them? Well, I don't really have a message. Why would you want to go to preach at the church when you don't have a message? Why would God send you to go somewhere and you don't have a message? God sends you with a message. You better get the message first, then the doors will open. Can you say amen? And what's the message? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this has to burn on the inside of you. It's not about spreading mass information about many subjects. It's about staying with the simplicity of the gospel. If you're selling books, you need a new subject because they already read your last book. If you're selling tapes, you need a new subject. You've got to come up with something new because the people already have already heard that. I have a very easy job because I just have to stay saying only what he tells me to say. If I have to repeat it 50 times, I'm going to stay with it and just keep preaching it and just let it come right out of my mouth. People say, I've heard it before. That's fine. Then it's not for you. It's for another generation that God's raising up. But I'm not changing the message. Now, so we've got a responsibility. We are called by God to be his hands, his mouth, and his feet. Isn't that what the body of Christ is? His hands, his mouth, his feet. So that only happens when we are saturated with his presence. When that resurrection life is consuming our life. This morning, sitting around breakfast, as I'm sharing, the power of God hit me. I start weeping. I mean, breakfast. I mean, Lord have mercy. The guy's trying to bring me my omelet, and I'm crying. It doesn't end. It's this resurrection life that will sustain you. If God's going to do anything, he's going to do it through the church. He always finds somebody down through the centuries. He always looks for somebody. Say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Does he choose perfect people? He chooses people to make himself available to him. But people, other people think he chooses only perfect people. If he only chooses perfect people, there'd be nothing. He chooses people that will yield themselves. All of the supernatural is about one thing, the word yielding. That's it. That's it. It's not about more anointing. It's about yielding to what you have. It's all about yielding. Following the promptings and the leading of the Spirit of God. That's it. Every single day, yielding. If you want to do anything, you want to yield more than you've ever yielded before. I want to yield more. I'm going to yield my vessel unto you. I will yield unto you more than I've ever yielded before. That's what it is. That's where the key to all of this is. Jesus didn't do anything but that he first saw his Father do it. He said, I am my Father one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's going to use you. He's looking to use you. He's looking to use every single one of you. More than you want to be used. But you have to make yourself available. Maybe it's just something that was in my spirit, you know, as a child and a kid growing up. And then as a teenager that I just felt this in my spirit. I felt the very pull of heaven. And I didn't know where that would lead me. But I was going to set out on that journey. It's like Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Where you just feel the fire of God on the inside of you and you feel a stirring by the Spirit of God to rise up. And there's a place for you and there's a mission for you and there's a destiny for you to fulfill in the plan and the purpose of God. And there will come opposition, trust me. And people will say you're crazy, you lost your mind. And some of it will come from your very own family and your very own friends. Because when you step out to obey God, you rock their world. You set them out of balance. They are challenged by your stepping out. They say, why do you have to do this? You rock them. You rock them. Why are you doing this? Who do you think you are? We know who you are. We know all your flaws. Yeah. You've seen my underwear. Sure, you know all my flaws. But that doesn't stop the call of God. That doesn't stop the plan of God. That doesn't stop what God's called me to do. I must obey. I have to obey. I must obey heaven. I have to do what he said do. I must go where he said go. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we yield under the Spirit of grace, yield under the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This resurrection life is available to every single person. You have to make a decision to walk in it. Every day when you wake up, you have a decision. You can walk in the natural or walk in the supernatural. It's your choice. It's not up to God. It's up to you. Every single day. Every single, just like you put on the clothes you put on today. You made the decision to put that shirt on. Amen. You put that shoe, those shoes on. You went and did your hair that way this morning. Nobody did it for you. You wake up and angels were combing your hair. Amen. Some of you don't need to comb your hair, but you understand what I'm talking about. You made that decision. Same way you make the decision to live and walk in this resurrection life in the power of God. It's not emotions. It's got nothing to do with emotions. Not stirring yourself up and let's get the cheerleaders out. This is what's on the inside of you. That fire that's shut up in your bones. That's going to begin to flow out of you. Just got to give voice to it. The anointing is voice activated. Can you say amen? It's voice activated. You just got to begin to proclaim it out of your mouth. Let him speak through your mouth. Let him touch through your hands. Let him walk in your feet. In Mark 16 and 15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why I don't care what people look like. Even if they look like a creature, I'm going to preach to them because they're covered in the scripture. Can you say amen? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's not your job to damn anybody. That's why people running around damning everybody, you're going to hell. That's not the gospel. You preach the gospel. If they believe, they're saved. If they don't, they're damned. Don't damn them. God never said go damn everybody to hell. He said preach the gospel. Can you say amen? You could spend your life traveling the world telling everybody they're going to hell and never preach the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. You don't have to go to hell because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. It's very simple. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you can make a decision today. I'm going to count to three. By the time I get to three, I want every sinner and every backslider to start running. It's heaven or hell tonight. You make the decision. I mean, you give the call. But you can't do that if it's not on the inside of you. Can you say amen? When you give a call for salvation, it must be a call for salvation, not a suggestion. Amen. Not come get saved. We'll give you a 2-week vacation. If you get the Holy Ghost, we're throwing a rental car. Amen. No. No, the gospel has to be preached by conviction of the preacher that's preaching it. It's got to be a part of you when you preach it. I mean, your toes need to be doing that in your shoes. My God, it's got to be a part of your very DNA on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And if you're not good at giving an altar call, you need to practice. I used to do that. When I first started the ministry, I'd drive down the road and just pretend I was an auditorium, and I'm driving the road, and tonight, as we bow our heads, and I'm going to give a call for those that don't know Jesus, and I mean, I'm in the car just driving down. Who wants to accept him as your Lord and Savior? I see that tree over there. I see that stoplight right over there, and I just pretend. I'd do that for hours, just driving, calling for the lost. It's the cry for the lost. People can get up and give an altar call, nobody responds. Other people get up and everybody, it's like a giant vacuum cleaner switched on. And it just sucks everybody out. Why? Because of the cry of the heart of the individual. You have to let God birth this on the inside of you. Can you say amen? So I took ministry from Dr. Graham to T.L. Osborne, R. Roberts. I got as many videos just of altar calls. I put them together in hours on video, and I just sit and watch altar call after altar call after altar call after till I start crying. After an hour, I'm just weeping for the lost, just weeping for the lost. I go to my meeting, and there's 12 people there. I mean, I've already seen thousands come and go to my meeting, 12 people there. And I preach like it was 10,000 people, you know. Two people come and get saved. I leave the service and said, oh, God, come on, man. Seriously, that's it, you know. One person gets saved. I remember about 5 years ago, I was going through some papers. I found my old diary from 1982. And I looked at a certain month, and I saw there what I preached on. How many were in the service? Two saved. And the Lord said, those two, they got saved. You remember them? I said, oh, yeah. He said, what happened to them? I said, oh, they went to England and pioneered a church, and now they've gone back to Africa's missionaries. I thought, okay. And the next month, one person was saved. And the Lord said, Do you remember what happened to them? And they said, yes, they went to London and started a church. They're from his church in London, England. Oh, yeah. I preached my heart out that night, and only one man came forward. A man by the name of Chris Demetra. Only one man came forward. I thought I was a failure. I went home from that service. I cried to the Lord. I said, I preached. And no, only one man came forward. He's got a great church in London. They've just taken a building. They've 600-seater. They own their own building. That's unbelievable for London, England. And we're going to go there and dedicate it when the thing opens. Let me tell you right now, it's happening. And the Lord said, don't ever despise what I do, even if it's to the city with great joy, or it's to the eunuch or to the one. Because people judge it by numbers or whatever, but the work of God is eternal. It's eternal. The man you meet at the bus stop, you don't know what God's going to do through his life. Hey, listen to this for all the people that criticize the way we win souls on the street. We heard this testimony of a young man who was led to Christ. Someone came up to him with the gospel script, led him to through the prayer of salvation. That's all. On the street, 3 minutes. He leaves London, New London, Connecticut, and he drives back to, I believe it was New Hampshire. And as he comes into the city, he hears the Lord saying, I'm calling you to the ministry. And it's a total sinner who just got prayed with on the street. He hears the voice of the Lord. He pulls up at a church called New Life. And guess what? They have a Bible school. And he enrolled in the ministry. And on the night of his graduation, they asked him to testify. He said, well, just over a year ago, I was on the street in New London, Connecticut. And somebody came up to me and said, has anyone ever told you that God loves you? It's a great plan for your life. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? And he said, I was led to the Lord, but I didn't understand anything. But he said, as I was driving back home, I heard a voice say to me, I've called you. And that's why I came to Bible school. And now he's in the ministry. Do not underestimate the Holy Ghost. Here's the problem with the American church. The Holy Spirit has been shrunk down to little minuscule, tiny Holy Spirit. And the devil's being loomed up to big, big, big devil. That's the problem in the American church. They underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost. The unseen hand of God is moving as the Spirit of God is coming and convicting and doing His work as He does His work. As he leads, as he guides. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you'll cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. That means if this protection with the Great Commission comes, the great protection. This provision in the commission. Because he won't tell you to go and not make a way for you. So there's provision in the commission. There's protection. If something attacks you, it won't harm you. If they try to poison you, they can't kill you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received them to heaven, sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them, confirming the word. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. Confirming the word with signs and wonders following. So now watch this now. As the computer lady was reading Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. I'm gonna paraphrase this now. You shall receive resurrection life. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a witness of the resurrection. You shall receive power to be witnesses. What's a witness? A demonstrator. That he's alive. I'm coming to that town. I'm coming to that village. And I'm going to demonstrate that he's alive. I'm coming in the power of the resurrection. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm talking about here? That's called living in resurrection life. Behold, I give you power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be demonstrators. You will be proof producers of the resurrection. That people might not believe God, but when you walk in the door, you look like God. You walk like God. You talk like God. When you speak, your voice burns into their spirit. They hear it in the 9 hours. Even long after the CD player stopped playing, they can hear it. It plays over and over and over again, because words spoken under the anointing of God will never return void. I'll give you one last thing. We're going to pray. I was preaching in Ketchikan, Alaska, back in the first month of 1993. A pastor that had bugged me right after he heard the revival broke out in 89 and throughout 90, 91, he kept bugging me to come to Ketchikan. He used to send a fax to my house every week. Get a fax. Come to Ketchikan. You know, back in those days, faxes were commonplace, if you remember. And anyway, so I called him up and said, well, do you have a church? He said, no, I don't have a church. I said, all right, well, can you get a building? He said, well, there's a shopping complex and there's a place open. I said, well, how many can we put in there? He said, I think 300. I said, can you get chairs and a sound system? He said, yes. I said, I'm coming. So Ketchikan is on the Inside Passage of Alaska. It's a town of 13,000 people. And we arrive there, and I end up staying 3 weeks. The place packed out. We had water baptismal tank, people getting baptized in water, people being saved. I mean, hundreds of people got saved. It was all over the town. I mean, but one night in particular that sticks out to me, it's about 9 o'clock in the evening. Now, there was no curtains or anything. I mean, this is just a place that not even his, didn't have a sign on the place. It just was an empty store that he put 300 chairs in. And I was looking across the street, and there was about 12 teenagers just walking around, spikes here and everything. And I said to one of the guys, go get them now. Go get those kids and bring them in now, right now. In the middle of the message. So they run right out and say, he wants you. The kids don't even know where they're going. What is it? They don't know. He wants you. The man there inside wants you. I said, bring them in here. Line them up. These kids are all lined up in front of me. And I walk right down, put my hand on the first one in the name of Jesus. Boom, under the power. Boom, boom, boom. Everyone flat out of the bow. They're not even saved. No one led them to Christ. Everyone knocked out under the power of God. And then I went to the first one, picked him up, and he's standing there shaking him. I said, do you know what this is? No. I said, it's the power of God. This is Jesus touching you because he loves you. Do you want to get saved? And one by one, we led them to Christ. One by one, led them to Christ. What were we doing? We were demonstrating the power of the resurrection because they didn't even know that it existed. They came into contact with the power that rolled away the stone. And it was proof to them that he was alive. Because if they didn't believe in God, they knew that something had overwhelmed them, and they never felt like that before. As many have told me over the years, people say, I've been under every kind of drug known to man. I've never felt a high like I feel now. I've never felt a high like I feel now. And it's heaven. It's his presence. There are times in the meetings where when I'm preaching, I have to pause. Not because I don't know what to say, but because I'm about to explode. That's really what is happening. So I actually pause just to recover myself. And there are times when I'm ministering and it feels like, have you ever seen one of those cascading showers? I mean, even like those hot cascades, the big showers they put up, and you stand in that thing, it's like a rainstorm. That's what it feels like. It feels like rain's coming down on me. While I'm speaking, I literally tangibly feel it coming down upon me. I mean, and you know, I get concerned because people look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't know how to even explain it or even put it into words. But it's real. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what needs to be released on our communities and on our cities and on our towns and on our villages and on the nation and on the politicians and on the people in business and people in the government, to bring them under the control of God. And even if they might not receive Him, they at least have a respect for Him and they have a godly reverential fear for Him. Are you listening to me? To put the fear of God back in the leadership of our nation. Pray with me that the Lord will open the door for me to pray with the president. I'm really believing God to go pray with him. That's all I'm going to do. Mr. President, may I pray for you? That's all I'm going to do. Some said, well, you're going to pray the fire of God on him. Pray that God open the door for me to pray with the vice president and many of the of those in government. We already started going from congressional office to office and praying with different ones, tears in their eyes as they feel the presence of God coming on them. Listen, we could turn the tide in this land, but it's not going to be done by rhetoric. It's not going to be done by nice preaching. Thank God for preaching, but it's going to be done by the demonstration of the power of God as it influences the life of individuals where they realize that He is alive and He is risen. It's not some dead religion thing that we play on Sunday. Did you know that the first mega church was in the Capitol building, started by George Washington? Did you know that the Marine Band did the praise and worship? Did you know that that church ran for 100 years? How many knew that the first mega church was in the Capitol of this country? People don't believe that because they've rewritten the history books. They started doing that 75 years ago and dumbed down the American people where they don't even know how the nation was founded. Let me say this. If the founding fathers were deists, then how come scriptures engraved into the government buildings? Snap. I got you there. Who put those letters in that marble up there? If they were deists. Deists don't do that. And yes, there was slavery at the time. But if you think there's slavery back then, you don't know the slavery going on right now. By all the people being pimped in this country right now in the modern slavery. And that's another story I won't get into. But everybody's a slave unless you understand what I'm talking about. The plantation has changed. And the master has changed. But slavery is right in effect. And now it enslaves everybody. White, black, Hispanic. They're in slavery. Well, I free slaves. That's my job. I free slaves. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's life. It's resurrection life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just over a week from now, we'll walk into Constitution Hall. I know to the visitor or the stranger think I'm crazy, but that overwhelmed me. That's all. It's just the physical body doesn't know how to do anything. It goes just like the physical body. When that comes like that, it's done. Mind gone, tongue, but spirit alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I came to this Monday meeting. I came to the Monday meeting and I got blessed, man. I got blessed myself. I just got blessed. My God, I just got blessed. I'm so glad I came this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes what God does in a split second takes 3 months to come out. It's like an imprint by heaven into your spirit. And it takes, you can't even articulate it. It takes a while for it to come out, what was just downloaded. It's in a file. And it will take a while. It's a very big file and take a while to open. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I received, what? That's it. That's it. Yeah, that's what I was praying about. That's what just happened. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. In the Holy Ghost, it just came unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't put it into words right now, but I got it. Amen. Can't explain it, but I got it. Got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Got it in my mouth. Got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Got it all over me. I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This pastor, 60 years in ministry, 50 years of pastoring, and the words come right out of his mouth, pray for me.
We all got to have this.
Jesus. You know, the Lord said this to me. He said, people think that I equip them for their ministry down here, but they don't understand that there is a ministry that they will the function during the millennium for 1,000 years. And then there'll be works that we'll do in eternity. So this is not just for the now. It's not even about building a church building with brick mortar. It's about building the eternal building, which is people. The most precious thing, people. They're more precious than anything. That's what he died for. That's what he gave his life for. Blood was shed for people, not for land and properties and buildings, but for people. The blood was shed for people. The most important thing in the mind of God is people. He loves them so much. He loves people so much. He loves people so much. The only thing we can take with us when we leave this earth is people. Nothing else. We can't take one other thing. Just come here right now. I saw the hand of the Lord come on you. Just lift your hands. That's it right now. The power of the resurrection. Come here, both of you. Step right over here. Step right over here. It's life. It's resurrection life. Come here, both of you. It's life. It's life. Ha, that's it. Bring this whole row. This whole row. Bring it out too. My God. It's life. It's life. Bring him here. Bring him here. It's life. That's it. It's life. It's life. And the greatest power that will be demonstrated will be in the greatest darkness, outside. Nobody knows you. It's just the sound of your voice. Because I think who knows you holds you back. I think who knows you limits you. Because you don't want to say anything. I'll never forget, in 94 or 93, we went to Tulsa. And I got to speak. Rhema Bible Church, Brother Hagin was there. Well, he came later. But Al Roberts come sitting on the second row. And when that happened, I wanted to run out. Because as a little boy, I'd listened to Al Roberts and the fourth man. Like a diamond on a velvet couch, the city of Jerusalem lies in the exact geographical center of the earth. It's the city of God, the great King. That's part of his message. And I said, Lord, I need to leave right now. And the Lord said to me, pretend you don't know anybody. Because if you look at their faces, you will not do what I tell you to do. And so immediately, I erased from my mind who anybody was. I knew who they were, but I erased from my mind. And I just flowed with the Holy Ghost. And you're going to have to do that time and time again when people of different note come. I believe this happened with Jonathan Edwards, or was it? One of the greats from that time where he was preaching in the Capitol, or maybe Pennsylvania. I've got to get the facts right on this. But he was praying in the back room, and they said, the president is here. I believe it was the guy, Andrew Jackson, come to the meeting. And they said, the president's here. And he said, I'm praying. 20 minutes later, they come to him and said, the president's here. He said, I'm praying. And eventually, out of desperation, they said, the presence. He said, I am praying. And then he walked out, went in the meeting, and he said, we're really honored tonight to have President Andrew Jackson with us. But sir, if you don't repent, you're going to split hell wide open. And those were his opening words. Could you imagine modern-day preachers talking like that? Absolutely not. They'd kowtow. They would just, it would just be acquiesce. Jesus. That's it. Jesus. Jesus. Come here, dear brother. Brother Mike. I heard the Lord say, ask him how many souls you want. He said, ask of me. And he said, ask largely. And I'll do it. Jesus! Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Huh. He said, there'll be a quickening. Things will be speeded up. You're going to see more in the next 18 months than you have in all the previous years. It's going to be speeded up. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So right now. Jesus. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen. He's waiting for us. You know what was so crazy this morning? I was talking about England. I was talking about England, and as I began to speak about England, I just started weeping. I mean, just like I did now with DC, the same thing happened to me about England. I mean, just slammed me. Come here, let me pray for England. Come here. The devil's not going to have the UK. Now, one thing I've realized over the years, that it's not just by the laying on of hands that the anointing is transferred, because it's by the preaching of the word. You see, these words are time release capsules that have been released into your spirit. They're going to be released. You can't have the word spoken under the anointing and then not have an effect. I'm hearing it come back, especially now in our church. After 17 years of pastoral ministry, I'm hearing come through all the young people, all the people now in the church, I'm hearing come right out of their mouth. The years of preaching by the fire is now coming back at me through the mouth of the congregation. It's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing. Because what we really just did was preach the fire into them, that's all. We just preached the fire into them. And I hear it coming out of their mouth. Come here. God doesn't lie. What he promised, he'll bring to pass. If he said it, he'll do it. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. Put your hands up. Jesus. Touch. Jesus, close your eyes. That's why the devil hates the Holy Ghost. He hates what people minister by the Spirit of God. He hates the laying on of hands. He mocks it. Because he knows it's a death knell. If those people turn loose of the anointing, I'm going to lose my grip. I'm going to lose it. I won't be able to hold them in captivity any longer. They're going to get free. They're going to get free. They're going to get free. Life! It's life. It's life. Jesus. Life. The Lord told me to tell you it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Things pertaining to the family, it's going to be okay. He's going to give you the miracle you prayed for, you cried out for. It's going to be okay. The answer's on the way. Rejoice and be glad. It's going to be okay. He's heard your cry. He's heard your prayers. He's heard your cry. It's going to be okay. Every one of them. Every one of them. Not one will be lost. Not one. Not one will be lost. Not one. Rejoice and be glad. Not one shall be lost, for even now the angels of heaven doth work. And every single one shall come in. You shall see it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, you just, that's the word of the Lord to you. Don't worry about it again. Just whenever the enemy says anything, whenever anything happens, you just say, it's going to be all right. I heard the Lord say it's going to be all right. I heard it that Monday morning. It's going to be all right. It's God's job. He'll bring them in. You've done the praying. He'll bring them in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, Lord Jesus. I tell you, I've never, in all my travels, I can't tell you I've found a hungrier pastor than this man. Traveled 50 countries of the world. I found people that were hungry, but no one that stayed like this, that's hungry like this. I found people that were hungry and got tired and then moved on, but not like this. I actually have a fear in me for preachers that mock the Holy Spirit. I am very concerned for them on that day. May God have mercy on them even now. To even touch the Spirit of grace, to even lay your finger on Him. And I don't ever want to use the Holy Spirit, I want Him to use me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand together. Jesus. We're going to just continue tonight. We're just going to carry right on from here. So when you come tonight, just get in your positions. We'll continue right in the flow. It'll be an awesome night. Amen. Praise God. We love you. Bless you.
mindful of me, that you